Hey, Network, it's I, Adam, again, and I have got a thriller of a podcast for you. For those of you who are attending TPNX and just interested in general about hiring at some of the major carriers out there, I have Captain Larry Radford. He's the program manager of pilot hiring at United Airlines joining me today. He's got a unique background in how he got to where he is in that position. He did some pretty cool stuff as a younger pilot, stuff that I would have never even dreamed of doing. And he kind of turned that into more than just flying the line at United. And he turned himself into a program manager. And he's in the pilot hiring business, which is something a lot of members of the Pilot Network are really curious about. Larry will be joining us with his wife at TPNX, which is something that we're really excited to have. We love the spouses showing up, whether they're from the recruiting side or they're from the pilot attendee side. We have spouse tickets for those of you who are interested on there. Go ahead and get yourself a spouse ticket for your spouse so they can attend with you and be part of that big decision making. Larry talks a lot about that. We talk about a little bit of family life, and we also talk about the future of hiring, but we don't get too much into the details because, well, the crystal ball for all of us is pretty much cloudy. We don't really know. Nobody really knows what it's going to look like in the future. The thing that we really get into, though, is what's going to set you apart to become a pilot at United. But Larry says it much better than I do, so let's get on with the show. I hope you enjoy. Captain Radford, great to have you here today. Super excited to talk some United specifics, especially leading up to TPNX. I want to thank you again for joining us and the TPN faithful. Let's just jump right into it. What was your background? How did you get to becoming the program manager for United Pilot Hiring?
Well, it's been a long journey. Do you want me to go all the way back? Should I go all the way back?
Yeah, let's pretend it's like an interview. You know, where did you first get your interest in aviation? That kind of.
Okay,
thing.
Well, I'll try to make it brief, but it has been a long, exciting history. I actually grew up in a little town in Utah. And I had no influence from anybody that flew airplanes, and not to bring the mood down any, but my parents actually passed away when I was small. So there was a guy in town that I think was trying to keep me distracted and took me for a airplane ride in his 182. He was the rich guy in town and owned a little auto parts store. And he took me for an airplane ride, and that was it. There was nothing else that I really wanted to do in life. And so that kept me on track. I got a job working line service at an airport, scrubbing hangar floors and pumping gas. And I used that money to take flying lessons. And then once I got my private license done, which was actually in high school, I had my private in high school. And I flew this man's airplane. His name was Doug Holt, to build time to get my instrument, and just really went from there. I got all my ratings, never took on any debt. And then when I had I got my commercial, and then my first actual commercial flying job was flying skydivers. So I did that and flight instructed, but I didn't really have a lot of students. So myself and another guy who had some sales acumen approached what was then Utah Valley State College and started a college aviation program with them. And so then I went from having just a handful of students to really more than I could handle. And I actually made a pretty decent living with flight instructing. Then I with this same company that I flight instructed for, I was able to get a gig flying freight, and that was in a Navajo chieftain. And the funny thing is, I am sitting in this office here at Denver TK, and I'm looking across the street, and I'm looking at what used to be this little flea bag motel. And that's where we stayed when we were done with our day of flying freight. And we were all tired. It was me and about four other guys. And we would converge on that motel, tired, knowing we were going to have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning the next day. And I remember when we were sitting there eating our gruel, whatever it was for dinner, one of the guys said, "What if this is the best job I ever get?" And I honestly had never thought about that. It had never even crossed my mind that I wasn't going to someday be an airline pilot.
Sure.
So, and then another guy at the table said, "Yeah, what if this is the best job I ever get?" And then I started thinking, man, I never thought about that. So I did. I gotta go back to my room. So I was actually married at the time. I got married young, and I called my wife and I said, "Jen, I'd never thought of this before, but what if this is as good as it ever get for a flying job?" And so she settled me down and I kept on trucking. So I went from there to flying corporate. I went to SkyWest. I went to America West. From America West, I ended up at United. And now here I am 25 years later, the program manager pilot hiring. So,
wow.
So maybe that was a little more than you wanted.
No, there, no.
But, it is a long, long story.
Perspective is so much of a grandiose thing in our own mind when we look back at our career and the arcs and trajectories and weird turns and craziness that it takes. But I think it gives a really good vantage point for the young aspiring pilot, or even the pilot who's been around for a while, to kind of reflect back on their career, especially if they're going to try to get to a place like United, to look back on their career and be able to kind of encapsulate some of those emotions. Like you said, Larry, you nailed it. Is this as good as it gets when you're down in the dumps flying something that maybe you don't want to be doing? And to have that perspective, somebody else brings it in. It's, you know, the Hero with a Thousand Faces book I've only quoted this book a million times, but the author's name escapes me, and it'll come back to me right after we finish recording. But the journey of the hero, you have to have somebody come in and kind of pick you up from your lowest point. And obviously that was your wonderful wife. You owe her a huge debt of gratitude, but you know that already, as we all do.
I was her flight instructor too, by the way, Adam. So everything I have, I owe to aviation.
Wow.
I have one guy that got me into this. And I met my wife while I was her flight instructor. Now she's got a private license. She never wanted to do this as a career.
Oh, she's truly a smart pilot. Then she kept the fun stuff real fun and took all the bad stuff out of it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, much smarter than I am. I think that perspective is great to not only see internally to yourself, but also kind of on a whole in the big picture. Speaking of perspective, you have a much different perspective than a lot of us who fly the line for respective companies or the military or whatever. What, from your vantage point, do you see going on in the industry over the last couple of years now that we've kind of turned the corner from COVID? I think most of us feel that way anyways. At least that's the feeling I think a lot of us have. To what's happening industry-wide with, you know, there's so many moving parts, there always is, and where you kind of... crystal balls are broken, so I don't ask for any perspectives from really anybody, but just your own personal opinion and of where we've come from over the last couple of years to where we are right now, and maybe just a brief look into the Larry's crystal ball in the future.
Oh boy, I've been in this industry for a while, and I've seen a lot of ups and downs, but I am very positive. I love this job, and I really couldn't see doing anything different. But we're now in a phase where there's a lot of really great places to work, and the airlines seem to have figured out what their niche is. There's not a lot of there's competition, but it isn't a zero sum game like it used to be. So back to that theme of, is this the best job I ever get? Stapleton used to be a thriving airport, by the way, for those on the younger crowd that missed that part. But back then, you really didn't know if you were ever going to get a really good job doing this. that, you know, you might end up flying a Navajo chieftain for your whole career back then. My father-in-law was one when he got out of Vietnam. He wanted to be an airline pilot, but just couldn't make it work. There weren't enough jobs. Now we're in an industry where there's all kinds of options. You go from flight instructing to say a SkyWest or an Envoy, and you've got 1,500 hours and just barely got your ATP, and you're going. Most of your career may have been flying in a glass flight deck airplane, and now your the learning curve is really much steeper, but it's also safer because you're flying safer equipment. So I would say at this point, if you want to be an airline pilot, you still have to put the effort into it, but there's more certainty that you're actually going to get a job where you can support a family.
Yeah.
So right now, with all of the options that are out there and all of the great airlines you can fly for, obviously I'm loyal to United. I think that's the best job in the world, but there's a lot of really good carriers out there. You have to focus on a few things, and you'll get there if you jump through those hoops, if you're willing to do the work. I see in the future a lot of rapid growth and expansion with mainline carriers, and maybe not so much on the regional side, because that's what passengers want.
It strikes me as such a unique, our industry is very unique, and our perspectives from internal, external, you talk to friends of mine who aren't pilots, and they're just passengers who look at the product much differently than we have to look at it. We see the underbelly of how things work and how the glue is made in this case, and they don't get to see that, and they wonder why we don't do things a certain way, no matter what airline you're at. And the fact of the matter is because, like you said, the industry is ever constantly changing and evolving, and this evolution is something that is new to a lot of us, especially us who are younger in the industry. I mean, I've only been in the Part 121 side for a little over a decade, so it's not like I have a huge history to base it off of, having friends who flew in the mid-90s and seeing the change from, I mean, they weren't really regionals, it was the commuters, you know, I remember that.
Right, we call them
commuters. Yeah, so it's a lot of difference and a lot of changes, so it's kind of tough to shoot out the projection. So we kind of have to look at like the past and go from there to not necessarily make a prediction about the future, but I think a lot of folks, especially younger people who have seen a little shift in the way hiring is happening right now, which we'll get into here in a second, don't realize that there was times in this industry where if a airline industry was hiring 1,000 pilots a year, that was kind of a big deal. Like the industry was hiring 1,000 a year. And we just got off of a hiring spree where airlines, especially the three legacy carriers, were hiring over 2,000 people a year apiece. That is unprecedented. It may never happen again in those numbers. But if we can just talk about that spree and where we're at kind of now, because to me, that's one of the most fascinating periods in airline history, hiring.
I'm really glad you touched on that. We have to keep this in perspective, because when I was hired by United, they hired 1,200 pilots that year, and that was huge. That was unprecedented. Last year, United alone hired about 2,300.
Wow.
So people, when we say, well, maybe, now I have to stay away from specific numbers, but let's say we hire 1,600 this year. That's still a lot of pilots.
Yeah, it is.
But then you'll hear people that were used to these massive numbers well, what's going on? There's got to be something wrong here.
Yeah.
And then and Delta slows down a little bit, and then Southwest stops hiring. And I'm saying, guys, we need to keep this in perspective. This is still a tremendous amount of hiring. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of our hiring, as with every airline, is aircraft deliveries. And really, that story is not any different, whether you're talking about Delta, American, Southwest. How many airplanes can we get? That's going to drive how many pilots we hire. But to summarize, let's keep it in perspective.
Yeah, right.
If we only hire 1,500 this year at United alone, that's still a tremendous amount of hiring. Mm-hmm.
I think it's that the recency bias, right, for a lot of younger folks or people who are just starting to get into this portion of the industry is, oh, my gosh, I missed my chance. Like, I wouldn't go that far.
No, you didn't miss your chance. And just because you can't get a captain seat right at a new hire,
yeah,
you're going to be fine. Now, I hate to be one of those old guys that says, it took me 15 years to upgrade, because I'm really excited for all of these new people coming on that can upgrade quickly. That does not bother me at all. I'm excited for them. I love the energy. But if it takes you 18 months instead of a year, then that's okay, too.
It's better than 18 years.
It's better than 18 years.
I'll throw a quick story out there. So I flew at Atlas for a little while, and at Atlas there was folks who had come from other airlines, especially 60 had just risen, or the age had risen from 60 to 65, and there were a lot of people who had just left their airline and retired and wanted to keep flying, so they would get a job at Atlas for the last 4.5 years, essentially. But there was one guy. He was at an airline. I won't name the specific one because he didn't have a lot of nice things to say about them. But they had merged with a company that has kind of had a rough merger issue in the past with three different airlines going together. So you can figure out who that was. Anyways,
you've made it pretty clear.
Pretty clear, yeah. But the one he was at was on the east side. And he was there for 17 years and couldn't upgrade, and he couldn't get into the right seat of a wide body. I'm saying, for perspective wise, for folks out there, there are new hires that have gone to a good friend of mine is a new hire on the 787 at United, and got his domicile of choice within 4 months of completing training. So the reality here, folks, is maybe you won't get that. Maybe it'll take another year. But when you start to get a little older, and for those of you who are a little younger than even me at 45, a year, especially once you start to have kids, means nothing. Like, that is a blink of an eye. It's over before it started. So I love that you brought up that perspective, and I think that's kind of a running theme we have here of this podcast and so many others, is things are still moving. They just, what you saw is was the dam breaking open. Now it's just the water still settling, but it's the river's still moving pretty quickly. And I think that gives us a really great speaking opportunity to talk about. If I'm a new, let's say I'm a 0 hour pilot, or I'm a no hour pilot aspiring to be a United pilot, all the way up to the person who is a retired 2-star general from the Air Force, who's got 6,000 hours and everything in between. What can we do as those folks to make ourselves a little bit more competitive in this ever-changing hiring world to essentially get on that, in that current earlier than the person who's not maybe wanting to put forth the extra effort to go out and make themselves a unique prospect to United?
Okay, well, let's talk with the 0 hour pilot. I love this one because I talk to a lot of people who want to get into this exciting industry. So, with 0 hours, go to the right flight school that's going to give you the right training that is going to give you the best chance of not failing any check writes. Now, if you have a couple of rough check writes, that's okay. But that is something that we look at. We want you to have a pretty clean record. The other thing is when you're building time, and I don't care if it's when you first start out flying as a student pilot, keep what I call an interview journal and write your struggles down in there. Write your successes, your struggles, how you resolved it, how you made yourself better, and then even better, how you made the world a better place because you were able to solve a conflict in the flight deck. The aircraft blew up, whatever it was that you saved the day, so that when 6 years later, when you're sitting in an interview with me or one of our team here, and you're asked to tell me about a time question, you can go back to that interview journal. And you can tell us about a time, and you can make it accurate, because unlike hunting stories, those do need to be true.
Right. Or golf or fishing too. Don't forget those two. Those are probably pretty false as well.
Right. Golf, hunting, and fishing. You can fill that with as much fluff as you'd like, but this, we only get 90 minutes in an interview and we really want to know what you're about. And if you've been doing that interview journal for the last 5 or 6 years, you're going to have all kinds of stories that you can regurgitate to us that really tell us what you're about. So for the zero time, I highly recommend that they start doing that. Now, the military aviators, same thing. The military, I mean, let's be honest. They come in with some really cool stories, and they're fun to listen to. They've had lots of opportunities to solve problems and really build a stellar career. But it's same thing for them. You still have to come in here and you have to be able to tell us what you're about. And you may think you're going to remember it throughout your career, but you really need those memory joggers to bring those to an interview. So that's specifically how to get to an interview, but what do you need to do to be competitive? We'll get to about that 2,500-hour total time. Get as much turbine time as you can. We like to see about 1,000. Now, we have our stated preferences, which is really quite, 1,500 hours total time is not a lot, but we're really not going to bring you in at that. So get as much turbine time as you can. Get as much multi-engine time as you can, get as much leadership opportunity as you can, whether it's as a line check pilot, whether it's working with your union, working in a chief pilot's office. We love to see all of that. I will also say, too, there's been a de-emphasis on college degrees. We don't require it. In fact, we actually never have required it. It just was a hard preference where if you didn't have one, you really were not going to be competitive. That's no longer the case, but it is going to set you apart.
Yeah. And there's a way, the kind of one of the things I look at when I have talked to people who are interested in getting into this career from kind of zero, they say, hey, I want to go to a flight school and get it done as fast as I can. I said, that's great. I understand that, but you remember, you got to learn. You actually got to learn how to fly an airplane, fly it very well, so you can continue. Because one day, there's the whole, you got your bag of luck and your bag full of experience, and you better have one full, you better have some in both before one gets emptied out. And I think one of the, I used to be a not so big of a proponent on going into doing the aviation degree, because I said, well, it's kind of like putting all your eggs in a specific basket and not having anything spread around. But if you are going to want to fly for a living, and you can afford or get some sort of scholarship money to go fly at like Purdue, for instance, and get your four-year degree and fly while you're doing it, it's an awesome option. And oh, by the way, if you still want to back yourself up you can go and do something else too. And you don't necessarily Absolutely. Need a degree. You can go get a coding degree and learn how to write some code so you can write a new AI model. And oh, just another thing out there, like Larry just said, if you can show leadership and support within the company, I've done this. I know other people who have. You can, there are the union and your company, no matter who they are, if you have a specific skill set that can help out something, will absolutely take advantage of what you have to offer. And they will probably pay you money to do that as well. So, like, they're not going to just say you do it for free. Now, the union stuff, it's a different story. But if you have a ability to code or write an AI project, you can get these special projects assigned to you. And those can go on your resume as well as you can understand how a little bit more of the company works. And to me, most importantly, is you then take a little bit of control and autonomy in developing the culture of your company. And not only is that a cool thing that you can be very proud of and kind of push something that you believe in towards your company culture, but also that goes on your resume, and a place like United gets to see how much you actually care about the job outside of just making sure the takeoffs equal the landings, which is obviously the most important piece of the whole thing. But that second piece of bringing people together and making it a company that people want to work for. I remember when I was getting ready to interview, not only at Atlas, but my current company and pretty much everywhere in between, was one of the things that people would tell me is HR may look at you differently, but the pilot who's sitting on your board, who's looking across from you, is thinking, can I spend 6 to 7 days flying on a trip with this person? And not only are they good at their job, but are they a good enough person or a great person to be around for 6 to 7 days? And that really stuck with me and has since then. And I tried to mentor folks about that as well, that it's not just the can you make the houses get bigger and smaller at the right times, but can you be the person? Because if they want to be with you in up on the flight deck, the passengers are going to want to see you as a company ambassador. And I think those are big things when I talk to people. Again, though, I'm not an expert. I've never sat on the other side. I've seen it for many years, and I try to espouse those kind of things. And it sounds like that you agree.
100%, Adam. We're really big on that at United. Our United core four is safe, caring, dependable, and efficient. And so we want you to be a safe aviator first and foremost. We never compromise on that. But when you can, we want you to be a passenger-friendly, information giving captain. You know, nobody likes to sit there when the aircraft is delayed for 35 minutes and the captain doesn't say a word about mm-hmm. the delay. Our CEO is really vocal about asking us very nicely to give people information and be able to stand up and represent your airline in a way that's positive and customer friendly. And people do that in different ways. We're all different people and different styles, but you can still find your own style in making your passengers feel comfortable about your airline.
If that's not the truth, I just got to do that a month or so ago, and I found the two moms sitting by each other with their little kids and kind of the look on their face. And first thing I said to them was, I want to get home as fast as you all do as well. I have two little girls who, when I don't get to see them for too much of time, it causes a lot of issues in the house. But no matter the expediency that we want to deliver you to your families and your homes, the first and foremost and priority is always will be a safe operation. That's just, and I saw the anxiety on those two moms' faces just fade away right away when they realized that we're not here for any other reason to get them where they're going safely and securely. And I think that is when you can show that in an interview and show that by your paperwork and all your stuff being very tight, and then you bring that extra piece, and that extra piece is I'm an ambassador for your company. And how you do that is just like you said, is that those leadership opportunities and taking those challenges and running with them is to me, I mean, when I see that from somebody who's out there in the field, I go, wow, they're gonna go places. I mean, outside of just,
it makes all the difference.
Makes such a huge difference, and it's just it's inspiring to be around at any age, watching especially young folks who just run with it and go bonkers. It's super cool. I truly appreciate a lot of that perspective in there. Is there anything that I didn't mention or ask that you wanted to share from your perspective sitting in your seat that maybe the rest of us can take away something different than what we read on, you know, forums or what's in the news media and that kind of stuff?
Oh boy.
I know that
one's, there's a lot.
It's
there.
Huge. So let's,
do we have another hour and a half?
Yeah. let's take it down a notch. Cause I realized that, yeah, I was asking the most broad based wide open question. Well, it gives us a chance to focus in and vector in on one thing that I think in the way we're looking at, you're talking about hiring and what's going on in that world and that perspective. And you said, hey, let's keep all the changes in perspective. If a person can take away one thing from our discussion about what's the best one thing they can do right now, because, you know, taking a leadership opportunity is one thing or flying a little bit more is another. But if they're sitting here listening to this podcast and they can open up their device and say, if there's one thing I can do right now to best prepare myself to become a United pilot today, what would that one takeaway item be?
Decide why you really want to do this. And I'm going to tell everybody that this is a great career and financially you can do really well. But please don't get into it for that reason. Get into it because you're the kid on the playground, the guy or the gal that has your head in the clouds, and you see an airplane and you just get excited and you can't explain why you're excited about that flying machine. You just want to be in it. You want to fly it. You want to smell the exhaust, and it's in your heart. Because those, back to your one of the points that you made, those are the type of people you want to fly with. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go home tonight, and I'm going to start pounding rivets out on my Vans RV10. I'm an aviation nut. Now, I'm not going to say that everybody that I fly with has to be like that, because they're not. But we want that heart piece. We want people that are dedicated to the career and love what they do, because those are the people that are going to take care of our passengers and they're going to take care of their crews. So sit down and take a really honest look at why you want to do this, because it's not easy to get here. And maybe honestly, another career track is for you if you're not in this for the right reasons.
Couldn't have said it any better myself. Larry, if folks want to see more on what United's doing on the career search, hiring with the United Aviate program, all that good stuff that's out there. I mean, there's a lot going on. Where can they go find all that information and connect with you?
UnitedAviate.com. We have a lot of really smart people that have put together a beautiful website that'll tell you every track that you can take to get here to United. Now, hey, if I can quickly say we get a lot of confusion about, well, what's United Aviate? And I'm gonna explain it as quickly and concisely as I can. United Aviate is a program. United Aviate Academy is a flight school. There are a lot of flight schools that you can go to get here. United Aviate Academy is just one of them. Mm-hmm. The United Aviate program is an umbrella of pathways that will get you here to United. We have our United UMPP program, which is a military pathway program, which we're very proud of, that we actually started doing our first interviews about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, very cool.
All of those programs are explained in detail at UnitedAviate.com. And that'll, you can even, there's a little chat bot on there that you could put in a question and it will, you'll get a response fairly quick.
Wow. See, we could have gone on a whole nother path there and spent another half an hour talking about one specific piece of the United story. I love it, Larry. It's awesome. For those of you who are interested in more about United, go hit up unitedaviate.com. I'll put it in the links in the show notes. Also, United's going to be at TPNX if you didn't know that already. And that's a chance for you to have that conversation and listen to what folks are saying. Because I think it's very funny, and I have to hijack this. We get a lot of emails about, well, I'm not sure, is my meet and greet, am I going to see? But there's so, people are, this is TPNX. We do things a little less stressfully. It's a little more casual. You're going to get the chance to talk to people in meet and greets if you've signed up for them. And if you haven't, there's other opportunities for you to have casual conversations to get the information that you're acquiring. United has a fantastic presentation that they're going to be able to put on for us. And then we have these events afterwards, these social events. And now a lot, not all the recruiters can make it, and some have other things going on, and some companies kind of have their own, they have their own stuff that they do in the evenings. But if there's a recruiter there, this is your chance to have that conversation. And I want you to understand that that's what TPNX is all about. And I want to thank Larry for joining us today. What an awesome, awesome way to connect with United, not only through the podcast, but through TPNX as well. And if you need to get a hold of the guys, Matt or Adam, well, that's me, please hit us up at heyguys@thepilotnetwork.com. All the socials, or head over to thepilotnetwork.com, and you can find anything that you need on TPNX or basically anything else. And as always, keep the shiny side up, the greasy side down. Fly safe, everybody.
Yes, yes, yes.